Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I think a bit of a storm in a teacup, I think, makes a good story.
The grass is extra brown this week.
I hate my yard. The front yard is just horrific. I don't even like my neighbors, and I was still embarrassed. I was that guy.
This is Prime Time on British Open Week.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Don't wait for comfort with Area Heating and Cooling. Go to areaheating.com today, your local Train comfort specialists. It's hard to stop a train.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is Rop and Zook. We're having a good time.
Not Why? Rocking you on a Thursday. We're saving that for Friday.
You know, tomorrow we're at Baseballism.
And that's where you'll be rocking people on a Friday.
Yes, Baseballism is over on Northwest Quimby in between 22nd and 23rd Avenue. And we're going to be over there with a live broadcast, and I think Mike Barrett's going to be there.
That's the goal.
So we're going to talk some baseball.
And hopefully he'll have some news for us.
Yeah, maybe he'll break the news that they've acquired property for a ballpark.
He did say in an article, I think it was Kerry Eggers may have had this. He said that they were hoping maybe in a month or so to actually have an announcement on that. So maybe we can weasel something out of him about what's the front runner.
So come on by and see us tomorrow.
Plus, Baseballism has cool stuff. And I think we're going to have the MLB to Portland shirts.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I think we'll have some of those to either give out. And I think there'll obviously be some for sale. All kinds of other...
I'm a double XL, by the way. Thank you.
We'll see what we can do, Mike.
Coming up this hour, mental gymnastics with Larry Fedora, the North Carolina coach.
The nation under attack.
Jimmy Garoppolo's date, and we'll hear how unfunny Danica Patrick is.
Can I tell you the Garoppolo story is my favorite thing that maybe come along in the last month or so?
Yeah, why?
I thoroughly enjoyed this because it's good to see that someone's finally taken advantage of being Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, taking full advantage of being that level of star quarterback.
But there's better advantage to be had in that realm than what he chose.
I guarantee that he's taking full advantage. This is just the one that we saw. He's exploring the studio space.
Like, Mike, I think that's a little, I mean, that's one night.
Yes. I don't think that there's, and if you don't know what we're talking about, we'll get to it eventually, but
it's coming up.
Don't sell Jimmy G short, okay? This isn't any sort of lasting thing. He's just... Again, just putting out feelers, seeing what's out there.
Coming up in the club, we opened, well, we didn't, but they opened that Egyptian sarcophagus.
And we're all going to die.
I have a dad problem I wanted to tell you about. And where have all the U.S. pilots gone?
Really?
There's a shortage.
Interesting.
Wonder why. That'll be 6 to 7. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
Ready?
Number five.
Ah, yes.
Who does number five work for?
Oregon State cornerback Xavier Crawford is transferring to Central Michigan. He'll be able to play right away as a grad transfer. He'll be reunited there with Corey Hall. You remember him?
I do remember him. Now, he is not the head coach, nor is he the defensive coordinator. He's the defensive backs coach out there.
Crawford started two seasons. He was a key returner for the Beavers, even though he was hurt the last seven games of last year. And we have a new highest-paid assistant coach in college football. Clemson has extended Salina, Kansas native and defensive coordinator Brent Venables.
Is he really from Salina, Kansas?
Yes, he is.
Oh, about that. So you got him and the astronaut?
Yeah, Steve Hawley.
And the great Isaac Rob.
Me.
So we're putting you at third on this list now.
No, because Anthony Newman is... not Anthony Newman. Terrence Newman.
Oh.
He's from Salina.
All right, we're bumping you down. So you're off the medal stand now, right?
I'm in the top five.
You're not even bronze.
And probably not even in the top five.
You know you are. You're a contender.
It's good 5 years, almost $12 million. That's the highest total compensation for an assistant coach. Now LSU's Dave Aranda will make more annually, but
it's good to be a defensive or offensive coordinator in today's college football world. A lot of money being doled out for these guys.
Woj bomb, isn't that what they call it?
Yes.
Oklahoma City traded Carmelo Anthony and a protected 2022 first round pick today to Atlanta for Dennis Schroeder. That's right.
We're somewhere in the middle there.
He's the guy with the hair.
Yeah, they got the weird streak in it.
And Mike Muscala. Anthony will be waived, and he'll be able to join the team of his choice. The frontrunner for Carmelo to land Carmelo, the Rockets.
I know, which seems a bit odd to me because they lost two kind of multi-tiered forwards, and now they're getting an aging Carmelo Anthony that can't play a lick of defense and doesn't make them any better.
He will definitely not make them any better.
I'm assuming this probably helps out. Did you know that Oklahoma City was on track to have the most expensive roster in NBA history?
No.
Yeah.
Celtics bring back Marcus Smart, 4 years, 52. Blazer guard Wade Baldwin's contract becomes guaranteed. He'll make $1.54 million and be a full-time Blazer. The team has until Wednesday to use their $13 million trade exception acquired in the Allen Crabbe deal, or that goes away. Denver took Michael Porter Jr., number 14 overall, but he's now had another spinal surgery. This is his second. There is now no timetable for his return.
Although
Dallas is finalizing a one-year deal with Dirk.
They did say, though, that because I saw this yesterday, it kind of leaked out, and then today more people are talking about it. Porter's guys are saying that he does not plan. The goal is to not have him sit out all year. That they hope this is a breakthrough on that herniated disc, and they're hoping that he's able to play.
Indians have major bullpen issues. They rank 29th. Today, though, they acquire Padres closer Brad Hand. San Diego gets the top catching prospect in baseball in return. His name is Francisco Mejia, and he would give the Friars 10 of the top 100 prospects in baseball, according to Baseball America.
Number two.
That's actually, it's one of those sneaky moves that the logic in baseball is that these didn't always make a real difference. But we've seen over the last handful of years...
You mean trade deadline
deals. Yeah, trade deadline deals. But that these sorts of things can make a huge impact, and you know, I think this is a big deal.
Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred was on Fox Sports 1 this morning, and he listed six potential cities for expansion. And, of course, it's no secret he wants to expand to 32 teams so the league can realign divisions and realign the playoffs. The cities listed in this order, Portland, Las Vegas, Charlotte and Nashville in the United States. Then he mentions Montreal and possibly even Vancouver, BC.
In Mexico, right? Didn't he throw out Mexico too?
Well, he said there are places in Mexico that he thinks they could go in the long haul.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I don't know if it's significant that he threw out Portland, but, you know, I've done some digging around because those names would get thrown out. And so I've tried to just kind of Google in spare time.
Number one.
If there's a buzz in any of these cities, and it sure feels like, at least from a quick Google search, that Portland has most momentum, ducks in a row, most buzz right now about moving forward. I'm telling you, I keep getting a better and better feeling about this.
Well, they seem to be furthest along.
Yes.
But not to say somebody can't come out of nowhere. It's just that, you know, Charlotte, Nashville, it's like they need a team out west.
Yeah.
You know, so Portland has a leg up on several of those cities for that reason alone. Not all of them. Weather cooperated at Carnoustie today, round one of the Open Championship. The leader is 34-year-old South Carolina native Kevin Kisner. Shoots a 5-under 66. He leads by one over Tony Finau and a pair of South Africans, Xander Lombard and Eric Van Ruin. Those guys are 4-under. Other notables, Roy McIlroy is tied for 8th. He's 2-under. Ricky Fowler tied for 18th. He's 1-under. Tiger Woods tied for 32nd. He shoots an even par 71. He made a pair of bogeys coming in. Jordan Spieth, 1-over. Phil Mickelson, 2-over. Patrick Reed, 4-over. And Dustin Johnson, 5-over. Last place with a score of 82, 11-over. It's a tie.
A race to the bottom?
Darren Clark and Masanori Kobayashi shot 82s out there.
I saw Ian Poulter. I don't remember what hole it was on, but I saw a highlight. Ian Poulter had one of the most amazing shots I've ever seen. Ian Poulter was hacking it out of the rough, and he skimmed over the top of the water, and then the shot rolled into a bunker and then like went down in it and rolled back out over the bunker and then just kept going and ended up on the edge of the green.
So it was luck.
Yeah, 100% luck. But it's an amazing freaking shot. And some of the guys out there hitting 400-yard plus drives. You said someone hit a 240-yard wedge?
Justin Thomas.
That's
240-yard wedge.
That's insane.
Wedge. Yeah, so, oh, and then Thomas Curtis also shot 82, if you care. The other thing, did you see Jordan Spieth's putt?
Yes, I did see Jordan Spieth's putt.
That everybody's talking about?
Yes. The way he putted it around.
Yeah, so he was sitting down in a really weird spot where he had to putt really close to the edge of a bunker and get it up to a hill and then funnel it back down to the hole. Well, the guy on, I forget who the commentator was saying, there's no way he gets this within a couple feet. There's just no way because he's going to have to putt it too close to the edge of the bunker. Well, he puts that SOB right along the edge of the bunker and takes it through the contour of the bunker and hit and puts it like 2 feet to the right of the pin. Look it up. It was awesome.
It's amazing. Look really up that good shot. Look up the Poulter shot. And by the way, I looked up the Oklahoma City roster, and I'm trying to see what this does to it, getting rid of Carmelo. But that roster that they put together, which is what, no better than fourth or fifth in the West, $300 million when you factor in the luxury tax.
Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download Coors Light's new rewards app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and game tickets. Hot takes with a college football coach next on The Fan.
I'm with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, failed to get to this yesterday. Wanted to talk about it. College football conferences are having their media days. As a matter of fact, we'll be down in LA next week, Wednesday, for our show for the Pac-12 media day. This one from the ACC, North Carolina coach Larry Fedora.
Super bro-y Larry Fedora. Have you ever seen what he's all about?
Not until this.
He's a super old school tough guy.
Well, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Based on his comments we're about to play.
Yeah. Larry is he's an interesting fellow.
Yeah, so he's out there and you know, you're expecting just, oh well, we've got a really good team, we really like our recruiting class, and you know.
Sure.
Here's my quarterback and you know, all that cliche crap. But not from Larry.
Not Larry. Larry went double finger pistols on us, and he's going big time. He's coming out guns a-blazing.
He said a lot of things, and we're going to play some audio here. But just know that this audio is about 4 minutes, and it has some very rational thought in it. And then it has some very out there stuff. So he's going to yo-yo you to death right here.
Because I think he realizes what he's saying is idiotic, and so he's trying to balance it out, but he really believes what he's saying.
Oh, no, he believes it.
Yeah.
So he'll have you nodding, and then instantly saying, wait, what the F?
What the hell are you talking about, Larry?
So here he is talking about the state of football. I think.
You spoke there so passionately Monday about
sports.
How football is to you and... I think you even likened it to what
to all of us,
America,
right?
America.
It is, yeah.
Does that then sharpen your focus on wanting to find ways to constantly be bettering the game, or does it make it tougher for you to see realities too?
No, it is. You know, I do believe we're involved in the greatest game there is on earth. I really do, and I do believe it's what makes our country so great. And I mean, I'm passionate about that. And the things that we change year in and year out and tweaking the game for player safety, all of those things, I think are good for the game. And I said it in there. I think the game is safer right now than it's ever been in the history of the game. That doesn't mean you're going to eliminate all the injuries. It's not possible. But the game is better than it's ever been. And I believe the game's under attack right now. Cool. I really do. And if we're not careful, you know, we're going to lose what the game is all about.
Who do you think is, to use your word, attacking the game?
Well, no, I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming anybody. I blame a groundswell of data that is tweaked one way or the other, because I can take the data and I can make it look one way, you can take the data and make it look in another way, and whoever's presenting it is the one that gets to say so. And are there some things that are negative about the game? Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But again, I think as you look over time, I can tell you just in my lifetime, from when I played the game early on to where we are today, here's a huge difference in the way the game is played and the way athletes are taken care of.
You said the game's under attack. Is there anything you fear might happen?
Oh, yes. I fear that the game will get pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. That's what I worry about. And I do believe that if it gets to that point, that our country goes down too.
What's the one kind of, I guess, primal, Whoa. What's the one thing that cannot go away?
Country going down.
Is it, you're worried about losing contact as an element of the game?
Well, if we go to touch football, the game's definitely changed, the game will not be as physical. The game will not be as tough as it is, you know. A few years back, I had an opportunity to ask a three-star general, you know, what I had a question for him. I said, what is it that makes our country, our military, superior to every other military in the world? And he was like, that's easy. We're the only football nation in the world. You know, and he said, most of all of our troops have grown up, have played the game at some point in their life, at some level. And the lessons that they learned from that game is what makes us who we are.
How is it different than rugby?
I don't know rugby, so I couldn't tell you that. I just know they don't wear a helmet. So, but I apologize. I just don't know the game.
So what are the biggest lessons your kids learn from you once they leave UNC?
Well, one, I hope they learn how to be men, great fathers, great husbands. I think, that's part of what has me in this game is the influence that we have on young men. And how we can impact their lives. I mean, you know, when we leave this earth, I mean, they're going to say, yeah, he won this many games, he lost this many games, and eventually that's going to be forgotten. But the lives that I've impacted is really the legacy that I leave and the generations to come that are impacted that way. So just making them better men, better fathers, better husbands, better citizens. I think that's really important in what we do as football coaches. It's so much greater. And then the lessons that they're learning on the field and the lessons they're learning in the weight room or in training and all those are the lessons that are going to carry them through the rest of their life. They will be able to rely on those lessons every single day when they get out of bed. Every single day they'll be able to draw on something that they learned in the game of football that will make their day better.
Larry Fedora. Mm-hmm. Okay, North Carolina football coach. A lot to unpack there. You know, some, like I said, some thoughts in there. You know, he believes the game is safer than ever.
It is.
Yeah, so like I said, you're nodding along, and then you're like, whoa, wait, what? So
he's also a CTE denier. He goes on to talk about that. We don't have that part, but he talks about how
he said it in there.
But he
was talking about tweaking the data. I would like to see the data that he tweaks and presents.
Yes.
Right? How are you going to...
Yeah, he goes on, and then there's more in there where he talks about that there's no evidence. Yeah, there is, Larry. There's actually quite a bit of it. But I personally love where America... America falls if we lose football.
Yeah, the country's going down.
Because our military is the best in the world because of football.
Yeah, and that guy probably said that to him just because he knows he's a football coach, right?
Like, I would hope so.
But I don't know. I was listening to Dirt and Sprague talk about this, and everybody's like, oh, why? How do people like this think this way? You know, what is this? And I think it's a pretty simple answer.
Yes, I do too.
And it's that, well, okay, so I look forward to hearing how you explain a guy like Larry Fedora, who's not a dumb guy, who's a very successful guy, mm-hmm. These mental gymnastics, right? This cognitive dissonance that he has regarding the state of the game and just what it does to athletes' bodies. But to me, it's pretty simple in that, I don't know, I think it's one thing to be ignorant about things because you aren't exposed to them. It's mm-hmm. another when it's your profession, right? It's like how on earth does he have this viewpoint when it's his profession? It's so narrow, right? And it's motivated reasoning. It's emotionally based decision making based out of fear. And I think what it is like you get guys like this who just live in an echo chamber, man. Like he has his yes. life is football and he sees nothing outside of football. And so therefore, of course, he thinks football is the greatest thing in the world. And of course, he thinks football is the country. I mean, like this is a guy who doesn't see concussions. He sees young men competing and doing what he says and developing every day. And he's done that his whole life and he makes millions of dollars doing that. And so naturally his belief is that football is the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
Right. So
you're 100% right.
So he can't see outside of that echo chamber.
And you don't want to see,
and he doesn't want to see outside of the echo chamber. And I get it. He loves football in there. And a lot of what he's saying is right about what it builds in terms of team building or a character in a young man. Cam Cleland on our morning show is like that. He's a firm believer that, man, this game teaches you more than a lot of other sports for various reasons. The way, the way it's played and the camaraderie and the teamwork and the kind of the war-like mentality. Like, it's us against them, that whole thing. And I think that's what he's talking about with the military. And
I would assume so, that he's football. Talking about there's a toughness there. And look, I played football for a lot of years, and it gave me a lot of good things. And yeah, I do think there's an element of work ethic and toughness and kind of grit that, when things get bad that you can lean on. But you're 100% right. I mean, what I was going to say was almost a mirror image of you is that when this has been your whole life, I know football lifers, and you're right, that you live in a bubble or an echo chamber, as you called it, and you don't want to get out of it. It's a safe world that makes sense to you. Football is very structured, right? Everything has a purpose. Everything has a place. Everything is scheduled out. And it's a very, I'm not gonna say it's an easy life, but it's a life where the path is clearly laid out before you. And then when that's all you've ever done, if all you ever did when you were young was play, and then you wanted to be a coach and you've been very successful and you've got millions of dollars out of it, you won't see any negative. And I don't want to sit up here. Some people claim that I hate football, and it couldn't be further from the truth. I love the game and it brought me a lot of good things. I'm just able to see the other side of the coin, that for all of the good that football does, there's also a lot of bad. Football is horrific on your body, and it also teaches you a lot of awful lessons. I played with guys that learned a lot of evil, nasty behaviors, misogynistic, in some cases criminal behavior that was enabled or in some places encouraged by football. For all the great team building and camaraderie and toughness that it can build, it can also build a very gang mentality, a very violent mentality. I particularly didn't like the way I was when I played football. I wasn't necessarily a bad guy, but if you asked 40-year-old me what I thought of 18, 19, 20-year-old me when I was in the midst of the football, I'm embarrassed at some of the things I participated in and some of the things that were encouraged and the attitude and the violence that came along with it. So yeah, there is a ton of good, but he's one of those guys that will only see one side of the coin. And unfortunately, I think a lot of football guys are like this.
Well, this is why I like, and I think we're on the same page here. This is why I like guys like, even like Mike Leach, who's pretty football-y.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who's well-read and has interests outside of football. He's not in that echo chamber 24/7, so yeah. He has a little bit different perspective. There are guys, a lot of football coaches that are like this, but there are also a lot of football coaches that their heads aren't 100% on football, and they have a little bit more measured, less narrow view of it, right? Yeah. But that's why, if people asking, I was listening to Dirt and Sprague, were asking this question, like, why is Larry Fedora, like, where does this come from? That's what it is. It's just, he has never come up for air from his little life in that echo chamber. And, that leads to denying the dangers of football, which is, it's just cognitive dissonance, right? It's like, you deny overwhelming evidence out of fear. Cognitive dissonance creates tension, right? Like you hear this and you go, no. And in your head, there's just fear and it's tension. And that leads to wild statements of defense that are nowhere near true. And that's where he is on the whole concussion thing and the whole CTE thing too. Yeah. I mean, that's how, and there is college football in general is littered with men like this.
Yes.
Littered.
It is. And it bothers me more with college football than it does with the NFL, because at least in the NFL, there is better structure in the fact that you pay players and they're grown men and they have outside influences. All the CTE stuff that the NFL has to deal with, it's the same thing in college, but there's no voice for college athletes. There's no settlement for college athletes. There's no long-term care for college athletes. And you're under the thumb of coaches that don't really care because in 2 to 3 years, you're gone and someone else is coming in. And so I think it's a bigger problem in college with football coaches basically playing God over kids that aren't, that don't really feel like they have a voice. Whereas at least in the NFL, there's a union. It's more of a buyer beware sort of thing. And it's why I roll my eyes at the Larry Fedoras of the world when they talk about how much the game has given them. Of course, but it's also come on the backs of a lot of other people that aren't you. It's like when Dabo Swinney said, the day that we pay players is the day I go find something else to do. Oh, shut the hell up. Really? You're going to give up your $5, $6 million a year salary because we want to make sure that the kids have some long-term health care or a voice in how their sport is played? I mean, that sort of mentality drives me nuts, and Larry Fedora is certainly one of those guys.
All right, Jimmy Garoppolo went on a date.
Yes, he did.
And we'll tell you all about it next. Here's Mike.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, the ESPYs were last night. No one cares. I enjoy not watching them every year.
I don't think I've ever seen anything involving the ESPYs outside of, like, you know, I don't know, you like a video clip the next day because someone says, like, a highlight.
You know. Peyton Manning was pretty good. See, on there.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, we played some of his jokes. But somebody wrote a bunch of jokes, and then Danica Patrick was the host, and she's not very funny. So they, you know, these aren't her jokes. No. She's just trying to deliver them as best she
can.
It's
the same thing. Like when you watch, do you ever watch the Comedy Central roast?
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Willis's is coming up at the end of this month.
Yeah. You know what he said? Did you hear what he said? It's already out.
That Die Hard's not a Christmas movie.
That's what he said.
You go to hell, Bruce Willis.
Well, he's in the movie.
I don't care. I refuse. I'm gonna go Larry Fedora. Just
he
be
said
a
it's not a Christmas movie.
But it's like when they do those. They have like their friends or regular celebrities that get up there and someone writes them their jokes, and it's never as good as the stand-up comedians. And this is the same sort of thing. Danica Patrick had people write jokes for her, and she's not a host. She's not a performer. You shouldn't expect her to be Kevin Hart or Chris Rock.
No, but well, that's interesting. So if the jokes are funny, So you're saying it's all delivery. Like if a comedian delivered these jokes, and I'm going to play some of these for you,
it would be 75 to 90% better.
Wow. Percentages.
Yeah. Like if you went out and took, I don't know, I guess no one likes Louis C.K. anymore, but like Chris Rock, Chris Rock's one of the best stand-up comedians of all time. If we just went and found intern in there and we gave him Chris Rock's jokes, he's not going to stand up there and be Chris Rock. There is something to delivery and being able to actually get up and perform.
I get that, but this is kind of the other way around, right? Like, anybody make these funny, right? Like, Chris Rock's stuff is funny.
Yes.
But, of course, a lot of it has to do with Chris Rock's delivery. Well, it's just...
And the problem with this...
Intern Ben is devastated, by the way.
You what?
Intern Ben is devastated. He thinks he would be better than Chris Rock.
Sorry, Intern Ben. The other problem with this, too, is that with the ESPYs, they have to walk such a sensitive line because all the athletes get so butthurt that you can't you can make fun of them, but not really. So you can't.
OK,
you can't really push the edge.
Here you go. You ready?
Yeah.
Funny Danica Patrick.
Welcome to the 2018 ESPY Awards, everybody. Excited? I'm Danica Patrick. And it's true, the ESPYs have never had a host like me before. As you can see, I'm their first race car driver. So obvious. For the last 25 years, the ESPYs have been about celebrating the magic of sports. No matter what else is going on in the world, sports have always had the power to inspire and give hope. Unless those people are from Cleveland. That's true. I've been coming to the ESPYs for many years, and when hosts have singled me out on a joke, I know it's a sign of great respect. And I can't wait to show that same respect to so many of you tonight. World Series champion Jose Altuve, sir.
Yeah.
say it's incredible that Jose can reach the top of his profession without being able to reach the top shelf of his locker?
You get it?
It's out of respect.
It's because he's short.
Yes.
We have lots of NFL stars with us tonight. Nick Foles and the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles are here.
Say something about his ween.
NFL Offensive Player of the Year, Todd Gurley's here. And Odell Beckham Jr. is here tonight. Odell is once again healthy and will return to the field next season. But his hairstyle is still listed as questionable.
You get it? Have you seen his hair? Oh, my God.
Hockey's Las Vegas Golden Knights are here.
You're telling me somebody could make this funny?
I don't know if someone could make it funny, but they could make it less
cringy. The Golden Knights were one of the best expansion teams of all time. But they lost to the Washington Capitals. The Caps won their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. And Alex Ovechkin couldn't be any happier.
Did we miss one?
I haven't seen a Russian this pleased with Washington since, well, 2 days ago.
Like, that was not terrible.
That was a pretty funny one.
She has bad delivery and no timing.
Speaking of other countries, congratulations to France on winning the World Cup.
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
I'd make a joke about the U.S. soccer team, but they didn't qualify for this monologue.
Oh. Ooh.
It's a bummer.
Tickle, tickle, tickle. All right.
Do you want more?
No, God, no. Please, stop.
But America did kick ass in the Winter Olympics this year. They did.
Yeah.
USA.
Some of the stars of this year's games are here tonight. Our gold medal winning women's hockey team is here.
Cheers.
Gold medalist Chloe Kim is here.
Who? The snowboarder.
And Instagram's Adam Rippon is here.
The skater.
Yeah.
See that skater who got murdered?
Yeah. Got stabbed. Someone's
I'm told he
mirrors.
Also won a medal. Give it up for the U.S. men's curling. Oh, is there extra? Keep going for Instagram.
What?
What?
I think
give
she's
it up for the U.S. men's curling team. They also took home
Instagram
gold.
Guy.
And for those unfamiliar, curling is the sport where you are allowed to kneel. It's totally encouraged.
Yeah, please.
That's
please.
Right. We have to mention the elephant in the room.
Let's
it's
stop.
Time to talk about
there's
the national anthem controversy.
Oh, no. Wait.
I don't know what Virgie was thinking either. But, you know, we all have bad days. Speaking of, Tiger Woods is back.
Yeah.
Sort of, I guess.
It's
I mean,
not that.
You know, why do people keep talking about this guy when he isn't winning?
Yeah.
Who does he think he is? Me?
You get it? She never won.
You're so stupid.
You want more?
No. God,
the Golden State
no.
Warriors once again won the
All
NBA
right, fine.
Finals.
5 minutes too long of this.
She's got Warriors jokes.
Stop.
She had a decent but poorly delivered J.R. Smith joke.
Just, no.
Let's hear it.
Don't encourage
Hi, I'm
him.
A balloon.
Stop.
Bye.
Lynch, shut up.
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
For the love of all that's holy.
Hi, I'm a balloon.
Let's
Bye.
Be done with this.
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
That's better than any monologue Danica Patrick
might be the most regrettable thing we've done on the air in quite some time.
It needs
and that's
to have a nut in it.
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
All right. It wasn't that bad. Come on.
No, it wasn't, but we made it that bad.
What are you talking about? I thought it was funny.
I'm sure you did.
What, did you think our laughing was fake?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I can't help it.
Yeah, it's just she
really
gets,
funny
she
jokes.
Gets you. The funny bone. It's
so you're telling me some really funny comedian could make that crap funny? Come
they,
on.
They could have made it a lot better. They wouldn't have been as hacky and as cringeworthy. She's not a comedian. It was bad, but I don't think she deserves to be killed for it. What did you expect from a race car driver? Like if you got Jeff Gordon up there, it wouldn't have been any better.
Hey, we opened the sarcophagus. They called in Geraldo, and he opened it up.
Now we're all going to die. They did have to stop.
What?
They did have to stop. They opened it 2 inches and had to stop.
Yeah, because all the poop.
No, the smell.
Yeah, there's poop in there.
Oh, there's poop?
Yeah.
It was the brown water.
Okay, stop. Dad problems, and where have all the U.S. pilots gone? Next, it's Club 1080 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.